Wanda Blackwood Sunday School, February 12, 2012.
Turn with me this morning, if you will, to 1 Kings 11:41. 1 Kings 11, and we'll begin with verse 41. I'd like to look for a few lessons on the kings of Judah. The first three kings we won't spend a lot of time on because they're quite familiar to us. We all have learned a lot about the very first king, King Saul, which Israel demanded, and his envy and hatred of David. And we all know quite a bit about King David, God's choice for the people, and from whose lineage the King of Kings has come. And then we've recently talked about King Solomon and the son of David, whom the Lord gave wisdom more than any other man who's ever lived, and how he squandered that gift by allowing his fleshly appetites to guide him rather than the Lord. And he ended up shamefully worshiping the gods that his heathen wives introduced him to. And we wonder, how in the world could that have been? That he went from being so dedicated to the Lord and the wisest king that ever lived to worshiping idols in his later years. And yet we've seen how easily things try to distract us from worshiping the Lord with our whole heart. And I think that's just a step from there to idolatry. It's something we need to keep in mind in our own lives. But my interest now is in the kings that followed those three kings, the ones that we don't hear as much about. There are many lessons that can be learned from their lives, from their successes and their failures. So I'd like to look at the next one in line after King Solomon died. His son, Rehoboam, was put into the lineage of the kings. And 1 Kings 11, beginning with verse 41, says, "Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the books of the acts of Solomon? And the period that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Then Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his place. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. Shechem was a fitting place for the coronation of King Rehoboam. It was at Shechem that God had first promised Abram that he was going to give him all of the land of Canaan. And then, if you remember, when Jacob left Laban with his two wives and all of his children, he settled in Shechem after that. And then Joseph's body, when the children of Israel left Egypt and Moses led them out, they took Joseph's bones with them, as he had made them promise that they would do. And they buried him in Shechem. So it was a very sacred place to the Israelites. And what a momentous time this must have been for King Rehoboam. He was not an especially young man. There were plenty of kings that had been given the throne much earlier in age. There was one even 8 years old that was made king. He was 41 years old at the time that he was made king. And no doubt he was eager to make his mark as the king of Israel. Well, he didn't have long to wait for his first challenge. He was approached right during the festivities that followed his coronation by a delegation of his subjects. And in chapter 12, verse 4 of 1 Kings, it says, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you." Well, this was a reasonable request. Solomon had taxed his people heavily in order to have funds for all the building that he had done. Of course, he built the great temple to the Lord, but King David provided most of the materials for that. But he built his own palace, which I'm sure was a thing to behold. And he had many other projects and cities which he built. And his kingdom was known worldwide for its great wealth. And much of that came from his taxing of the people. God had promised Solomon great riches, if you remember. When he asked for wisdom, God said, I'll give you wisdom, but I'll also give you great wisdom and long life. But he wanted even more. And so Solomon had taxed the people heavily. So he said to them, this is verse 5, Rehoboam said to them, depart for 3 days and then come back to me. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Rehoboam was wise to ask for 3 days to consider their request rather than to just say something off the top of his head. And he was wise to go to his elders for counsel. However, he should have listened to them. If he had, he could have had a peaceful kingdom. But verse 8 says, but he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had directed, saying, come back to me the third day. And then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. You know, Rehoboam's name means one who frees the people, enlarging their borders. But his actions toward them showed that he planned to do just the opposite. Instead of listening to the elders' wise advice, he listened to his peers, and he brought disaster on his kingdom right off the bat. Perhaps he thought that by appearing cruel, he would intimidate them into subjection, but it had the opposite effect. You know, Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Here's a proverb he should have known. His own father wrote it. But evidently, Solomon didn't consider it important enough to impress it on his son. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. How true that was in this situation. So verse 15 says, the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word which the Lord had spoken by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Well, who in the world was Jeroboam? Certainly no relative of Rehoboam's. He was from Ephraim, and his name means he will multiply the people. He lived up to his name. Solomon had made him the chief over one of the main sections of Solomon's workforce because of his good work ethics. But probably due to what the prophet Ahijah told him, Jeroboam rose up in rebellion against Solomon, and Solomon was going to put him to death for his insurrection. So he had to flee to Egypt to get away from King Solomon until Solomon died, and then he came back. Well, what in the world could it have been that God spoke to Jeroboam through Ahijah that caused him to rebel like that? Let's look, turn back a page or two to 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11, verse 26 says, "Then Solomon's servant Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite from Zereda, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow, also rebelled against the king. And this is what caused him to rebel against the king. Solomon had built the Milo." The Milo was a tower in the northwest corner of Jerusalem's wall, like a watchtower to fortify the city of Jerusalem against invaders. He had built that and repaired the damages to the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing that the young man was industrious, made him the officer over all the labor force of the house of Joseph. Now it happened at that time, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite met him on his way, and he had clothed himself with a new garment, and the two were alone in the field. Then Ahijah took hold of the new garment that was on him and tore it into 12 pieces. Now, the way this is written, it isn't clear whether Ahijah is the one who had the new garment or Jeroboam. And I checked several commentaries, and they seem to be evenly split as to whose garment got torn up. But considering the scarcity of nude garments in those days, it seems logical that the prophet wouldn't tear up Jeroboam's robe. One commentary suggested that maybe the prophet had wrapped himself in a new garment to conceal his identity until he could get Jeroboam alone. And then he tore his own garment into 12 pieces. That makes more sense. But anyway, verse 31 says, "He said to Jeroboam, 'Take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to you. But he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I've chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me and worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the people of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do what is right in my eyes and keep my statutes and my judgments as did his father David. However, I will not take the whole kingdom out of Solomon's hand, because I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, Rehoboam's, and give it to you, 10 tribes. And to his son I will give one tribe, that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself to put my name there. So I will take you, and you shall reign over all your heart desires, and you shall be king over Israel. Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house as I built for David, and will give Israel to you." So Jeroboam had a history with Solomon already. And since he knew that God had promised him to be king over 10 tribes of Israel before Solomon had died, here was his chance, he thought. But that's why he rebelled against Solomon, and Solomon was after him to kill him, and he had to leave. But now he's back in the picture. Solomon has died, and he knows that he had been offered 10 kingdoms, so he's back in the land of Israel again. So back to Kings 1 Kings 12, verse 16, it says, "Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, 'What share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David.' So Israel departed to their tents. But Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah." Rehoboam couldn't really believe that he had lost all except the tribe of Judah and the little tribe of Benjamin that went with him. He ignored their insurrection, and he sent his tax collector to collect the taxes, as usual, when they were due. But verse 18 says, "Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the revenue. But all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day." He finally got through to him. This was the year 931 B.C., and Rehoboam finally saw what his haughty reply to the people had cost him. It took the assassination of his loyal servant, though, to open his eyes and make him see that they really meant business, that they had really withdrawn from his reign. And so the 10 tribes of Israel split away and took Jeroboam as their king. Verse 20 says, "Now it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had come back, they sent for him and called him to the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none who followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. And the rest of them went with Jeroboam." But Jeroboam was not a godly man, and his ungodly attitude remained through all the kings of Israel that followed him. There was not a single godly king who ever reigned in Israel after Solomon's kingdom was split in 931 B.C. Some of the kings of Judah were godly, but not a single one of Israel's kings followed the Lord from that time on. Well, as you might expect, Rehoboam wasn't going to just stand by and watch his nation be taken away from him like that. So verse 21 says, "When Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, 'Speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me.' Therefore they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord." Well, that was a wise decision that Rehoboam made there. He did have some wisdom. But to not go to war to reunite his kingdom, it was wise of him to listen to the word of the prophet that told him that the Lord was against his going after the other tribes. Tremendous bloodshed was avoided that day when he made that decision to obey the word of the Lord. Turn with me to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 11. It says, "By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." What a perfect example of this proverb, that story of Rehoboam was. The elders, the upright, who were more experienced and much wiser than Rehoboam's younger friends, gave very sound advice. However, the city was literally overthrown. The entire kingdom was overthrown by the advice of the young punks to whom he listened. That was a very foolish decision of his. You know, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That is the 14th verse, a few verses down. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If they're true counselors. Now, he had two sets of counselors there. He had the wise ones and he had the foolish ones. So when we are seeking counsel, we need to go to the true counselors and not just the peers who had no more experience than we've had. But we need to go to the wise, godly counselors. And the Bible tells us in the multitude of those counselors, there is safety. We can learn much from King Rehoboam's story. It's interesting to me that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, but he didn't make use of that wisdom in his own life, nor did he teach that wisdom to his sons. Proverbs 29:23 says, "A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor." Rehoboam started out his kingdom, his reign, very proud and haughty, didn't he? But when all of Israel rebelled against him and left him with only two tribes in his kingdom, he was willing then to listen to the counsel of his elders. However, his reign was always plagued with unrest. During his reign, the people continued to follow the evil practices that King Solomon and his wives had introduced years before. The practices of idol worship and sinfulness. And they, of course, taught their children that, and it continued on. And Rehoboam didn't seem to do anything to correct that situation. 2 Chronicles 11, let's turn there. 2 Chronicles 11, verse 22. And Rehoboam appointed Abijah, the son of Maacah, as chief, to be leader among his brothers, for he intended to make him king. He dealt wisely and dispersed some of his sons throughout all the territories of Judah and Benjamin, to every fortified city, and he gave them provisions in abundance. He also sought many wives for them. It seems like a wise move to get all of his sons settled out in their own little provinces so that he could make Maacah's son king. Maacah was Rehoboam's favorite wife. She was the granddaughter of Absalom. And it doesn't say much about her, but Rehoboam's mother, Naamah, is mentioned three times. She was one of the idol-worshipping wives of Solomon. She worshipped Molech, the god that they offered human sacrifices to. And probably she had a great influence on Rehoboam and thus on the nation to continue those practices of idol worship, which Solomon had started during his reign. However, Rehoboam apparently didn't actively worship any other but the true God of Israel. And as you can expect, the other people who continued to worship other gods and Rehoboam, who did not do anything to stop it, resulted in the Lord's taking his protective hand from the people of Judah. And therefore, the king of Egypt came and attacked Jerusalem. Let's read that in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 1. "Now it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. And it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. He came up with 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, and people without number who came with him out of Egypt, the Lubim and the Sukkim and the Ethiopians." Now, if you remember, we read the size of Rehoboam's army. It was 180 total men in the whole army. And here, this army that's coming up against him has people without number in their warriors besides the chariots and the horsemen. So he was totally outnumbered. Verse 4 says, Shishak took the fortified cities of Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and the leaders of Israel who were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak and said to them, Thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore I also have left you in the hand of Shishak. So the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, The Lord is righteous. Now when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves. Therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. My wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they will be his servants, that they may distinguish my service from the service of the kingdoms of the nations. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. When God gave Rehoboam the kingdom, they were guarded with gold shields. But after the king of Egypt raided their kingdom, they were left without any gold. Verse 9 says, Shishak took everything, so they had to make bronze shields. And what does Ephesians 6:16 say about our shield? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Rehoboam's unconcern for things of the Lord caused him to lose the gold shields, the best of the armor that had been handed down to him from David and Solomon. He had to make do with an inferior substance, bronze. But you know, that made me think of our own lives. The Lord has provided not only gold for us to build with, but silver and precious stones. Are we guarding our treasure and building with that, or are we letting the enemy slip in and steal our gold, leaving us to build with inferior materials? Especially our shield of faith. We need to guard that closely. Satan would love nothing better than to steal our faith. And how do we strengthen our faith? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Let us not neglect the reading and the study of the Word. It's vital for our victory. But you know, there is something a lot more valuable that we have than a set of gold shields. Satan is after that, and that is our crown. Jesus told the Philadelphia saints, hold fast what you have, that no man take your crown. How did Rehoboam lose his treasures to the enemy? By not staying true to the Lord. And that's how our enemy can rob us too. Saints, let's yield wholly to the Lord, and he will guard our treasures for us. And no one will be able to rob us of our eternal treasures. If Rehoboam had yielded wholly to the Lord, God would have guarded those treasures. He would not have let Shishak attack him in the first place. And if we will yield wholly to the Lord, he will protect us and guard us. And if he allows anything, what we consider bad, to happen to us, it will be because there is something that will be good for us in the long run, something that will work for our good. And we see so many examples of that in Scripture, of different ones who it seemed like were having a horrible time, nothing was going right for them, and yet it was all working for their good. And that's the way he works with us, too. Back to 2 Chronicles 12, verse 11. It tells a little bit more about when they lost their gold shields. Verse 11 says, whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guard would go and bring out the bronze shields. Then they would take them back into the guard room. You notice after the horses are out, they close the gate. Is that the way it goes? Now they guard those brass shields so closely after the gold ones are gone. When he humbled himself, verse 12 says, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to destroy him completely, and things also went well in Judah. So Rehoboam learned a good lesson there, but overall his reign was not remembered as a godly one. Verse 13 says, thus King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. Rehoboam's mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. The acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. So Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Then Abijah, his son, reigned in his place. Now I know that this has been a lot of reading in history this morning, and you have been very patient, but I hope you will take a few thoughts with you to remind you of Rehoboam and the mistakes that he made, and some of the wise decisions that he made too. But first of all, we need to remember that what we do always affects others. And then, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety, as long as they're wise counselors, godly counselors. And of course, keep faithful to the Lord, and he will keep your treasures in heaven safe from the enemy. And there's one other thing that I was impressed with when I was studying about King Rehoboam. They didn't have so many of the blessings that we have nowadays, such as watching for the coming of the Lord. That is such a blessing to our hearts, to be able to watch for his coming and to know that he could come any moment before this day is over. We could be in heaven with him. That's a blessing they didn't have in those days. All they could look forward to was a long life and the end of their days. But what a blessed hope we have in knowing that Jesus is coming soon and he could come any moment. What a blessing that is. And I hope that you will carry with you those thoughts as you leave the Sunday school class this morning. The Lord bless you.